When my girls were younger, they played soccer. Maybe some of your grandkids, your kids are in the whole soccer league and that. They did that for several years. And before every season, there'd always be a note that came home. And the note would give us a choice. The choice was this. You could either sign up to man the concession stand, or you could write a check for $25. Yeah, I wrote on a check for $25 and gave it back to them. Now it's not so much that I'm opposed to work in the concession stand. Or I did that once, and it was an interesting experience. But mostly it was the fact, how can I squeeze one more thing into an already overcommitted schedule? You see, I'd rather scratch on a check for $25 than to give a couple hours of my time. Because time is a precious commodity. We all have our allotted 24 hours each day, no more, no less, and we each have to make decisions about how we're going to spend our time. And the only thing I know for sure is that there'll be more things to do than there are hours in the day. And I think that's pretty much universal, from the middle schooler trying to figure out how they're going to get their homework done, get to practice, and spend time with their friends, to the retiree trying to figure out how they're going to fit in all their golf. All of us have more to do than we have hours in the day. Time is a precious commodity, which is why when you give your time to someone, you actually give them a piece of your life. Time can never be recaptured. You can never regain those moments, those hours that you spend with someone else. So when you give your time to someone, you really are saying they're important to you. It really is an expression that you care. It's an expression of love. In fact, it's one of the five love languages that are identified by Gary Chapman in his book, The Five Love Languages. That is, ways in which we communicate love and ways in which love is communicated to us. And his premise is that we all have a primary love language, a primary way that we express to others that we love them, and a primary way that when we hear it, we are filled up and we know that we're loved. We've gone through three of those languages, and now we're on to the fourth, which is time. Quality time. Of course, our effort through all of this is to enhance all of our relationships, including our relationship with God. So today we come to the precious commodity of time. But quality time. Did you notice that there's a qualifier in there? It's quality time, and that's really the key word that we're talking about here. It's not just being in the general vicinity with someone or in the same room with someone. So, for instance, how many of you sit in the same spot every week? You don't need to raise your hand. I know where you sit. Okay? I'm not arguing with that, all right? How well do you know the person next to you? Pretty good. Person behind you? Person in front of you? How about across the aisle? How about across the church? Now, I'm not suggesting that you don't care about everyone that's in this room, but what I'm saying is just because you spent some time in the same room, that doesn't mean it's quality time. And if you think about it, add it up depending upon how long you've been attending here. If you added it all up, it could be hours, days, weeks, maybe months that you've spent with the people in this room, right? But that's not quality time. Just being in the same proximity as another individual is not quality time. Quality time goes much deeper than that. For one, quality time is focused attention. It's when you give your undivided attention to another individual. Now the prime example of this of days gone by, the antithesis of this, is when you've got the guy sitting with his nose in the newspaper, right? And his wife is desperately trying to talk to him, find out about his day, wanting to share about her day, until finally she gives up in disgust. And just, it's not going. This is not quality time. The modern day equivalent of that, it's a group of people around the table, and they all got their noses in their phone, right? You've seen it, I've seen it, I swear, I think I've seen kids texting to one another, and they're sitting at the same table. It's just amazing what's happened. Here's a true story. Last spring, I went out to lunch, I'm sitting on the patio, and there at the table next to me, I noticed that these two guys meet for lunch. They come, they shake hands, they say hi to one another. They no sooner sat down, both of them pulled out their phone, put their nose in the phone. This got my attention. In fact, I was distracted, and so I watched them the entire time. They didn't say more than 5 words to each other. The entire time they had their nose in their phone, even while they were eating their lunch, they got done, they put their phone in their pocket, shook hands, and they thought they had lunch together. That's not quality time. Quality time is no distractions. No phones, no tablets, no computers, no TV, no newspaper, no books, no outside influence. It's when you focus all of your energy on just one person. When you do that, no matter who you are, no matter whether this is your primary love language or not, but when someone pays attention just to you, that means something. It shows you that that person cares, that they're interested in you. You're important to them. Now, if quality time is your primary love language, it means everything to you. It fills you up to know that somebody would care enough to give of this precious commodity of time, focused attention. Quality time is also quality conversation. And again, we got to have the qualifier in there that it's quality conversation, right? Quality conversation means that there's listening and talking going on. Now, that sounds relatively simple, but we have various ways in which we mess the whole thing up, because actually communication is not that simple, and good communication is not that easy. Quality communication talks about listening, but listening, we don't do a very good job of listening. To be fair, we haven't really been taught how to listen. And as a result of that, you probably think of listening as a passive activity, right? In other words, when you're listening to somebody, you're just passive. You're just on the receiving end, and you really don't have to do a whole lot. As a result of that, what happens in most conversations, when someone is talking to you, you listen for a few seconds. You pick up some key words to get an idea of what they're talking about, and you spend the rest of the time formulating your answer, formulating your response, what you're going to say back to them. You don't hear most of what they say. It's a proven fact. We haven't been taught how to listen. Listening is hard work. It's active. It means that you're engaged. You're looking at the person. You're picking up nonverbal signs. You're listening to the intonation of their voice. You're looking at their body language. Are they tense or are they relaxed? Do they have their head down? Do they have their head up? What are the words that they're saying? What emotion are they trying to evoke? Are they angry? Are they frustrated? Are they happy? Are they sad? All of that is going on in a conversation, and active listening is hard work. But that's quality. That's quality conversation. When you just listen to that person and try and reflect back to them what you think that you heard. Of course, the other side of the equation is talking. If you're going to have a conversation, one person has to be listening, the other person has to be talking. And we have various ways in which we can mess this up too. Chapman, in his book, he paints two extremes for us. The one he calls the Dead Sea, and the other one he calls the Babbling Brook, right? The Dead Sea is an analogy from the country of Israel, right? And you have the Sea of Galilee, which flows southward through the Jordan River, and then it empties out into the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea goes nowhere, right? In other words, there are personalities where they take in all kinds of experiences, they see all kinds of things, they hear all kinds of things, but they're perfectly content to keep it to themselves. They feel no need to share or talk to anybody. This is the individual that if you drove from them from here to LA, they'd be perfectly content not to say a word. Dead silence all the way there. On the other end of the extreme is you've got the Babbling Brook. The babbling brook, as soon as they take in any kind of experience, whatever they see, whatever they hear, whatever they experience, hardly a split second goes by and they're telling you all about it, just incessantly talking about everything that happened in their day. If you rode from here to L.A. with a babbling brook, you would be exhausted by the time you got there. You would wonder, do they ever inhale? You know people like both of these extremes, the Dead Sea and the babbling brook. The lesson is we all have to learn. We're somewhere in that continuum. If you're more like the Dead Sea, then you find out, how can I express myself? How can I express my emotions? How can I share more about what's going on in my life and the things that have happened to me today? If you're the babbling brook, you have to learn how to listen and to make it an active thing, to learn self-control, to not talk quite so much, and to find out what the other person has to say. You see, when you have a quality conversation, you have shared an experience because you've shared life with one another. If there's quality talking and there's active listening, that says that you've shared life with one another. And I don't care where you are in your love language, a good quality conversation is golden. But if your love language is quality time, this is your lifeblood. This is what energizes you. This is what fills you up to have a quality conversation with another individual because you've spent time with them, quality time. The third thing about quality time is activities, and it's doing things together. And really, the activity doesn't matter. It can be doing a project around the house. It can be going on vacation. It can be doing some sporting event. It really doesn't matter. The activity is secondary to the fact that you're doing it together. You're spending time with that other person. One of the best ways, if quality time is not your love language, but one of your friends, it is their love language, the best gift that you can give them is do something with them. So, for instance, if your buddy is always asking you to go golfing, and you really don't like golfing, because you're not very good at golf. Okay, I'm getting too personal here, all right? I hate golf, all right? So, I know, I live in Phoenix and I hate golf. What a sense of humor that God has, right? But if it's important to your friend, you go golfing with him, right? That just speaks volumes. You're doing something you don't even like, but they're so important to you, you're going to spend that time with them. But that's what it comes down to, isn't it? It's time. And time is a precious commodity, right? And it takes part of your life to give that to someone else. But when you do, it conveys love. Now hold that thought for a moment and think about this. Think about the God of the universe, the God who created the heavens and the earth and everything in it. The God who created the billions of people that inhabit this planet right now. And that God says that he has all the time you need. All the time that you need. All the time that you could want. God says that he'll spend that time with you. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, God is available to you. All the time that you want, that's yours. And what's even better, he gets it. He understands perfectly and completely everything about you. He created you. He made you the unique individual person that you are. So when you're expressing yourself to him and you've got frustration in your life, he knows exactly what you're talking about. He is the best listener in the world. God has got all the time in the world for you. Even if it's not your primary language, what a gift that God gives to you. But I need to tell you this. If quality time is your primary love language, you need to spend time with God. You need to spend time with God because that's when he'll fill you up. That's when he'll show you his love. Whether it's casually reading the scriptures, whether it's taking a deep dive into the Bible, those are the times in which he pours into you. I'll share with you that my primary love language is quality time. Okay? That's the one that fills me up. So on Monday mornings when Michelle, my wife, and I, we go off to Starbucks, even though I love Starbucks, that's secondary. because we just get some time together, the two of us. We might spend a half hour, we might spend 2 hours, but that's golden to me, right? I want to make a point and try and spend individual time with each one of my daughters, try and find the time, make the time so that I can just be with them, because that's how I communicate love, and that's how I know that I'm loved, when I spend quality time. I discovered that back in June when I was doing the research for this message series, right? And then as a coincidence, or maybe not as a coincidence, at the end of the June, beginning of July, I headed over to California for a continuing ed. My alma mater, Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, sent on a professor to spend 3 days with us, 3 days with myself and a bunch of other pastors, and we were going to take a deep dive into the last final chapters of the Gospel of Matthew. From the time that he entered in Jerusalem through his passion, his death, his resurrection, and then his great commission at the end of that gospel, right? Something happened as I was coming home. I was reflecting back on my 3 days, and I was just feeling great. I mean, I was feeling fantastic, and it occurred to me that I felt closer to God than I had in quite a while. In fact, all of a sudden, his passion took on real meaning to me, new meaning to me. His resurrection, that celebration, was brand new to me, and his commissioning was even more compelling than it was before, and then it hit me. Duh. I had just spent quality time with God. I had left all my work behind at the office. I didn't take any of it with me. I just spent 3 days in his word, studying and learning with a bunch of other guys, and God poured into me. If quality time is your primary love language, you must spend time with God. You need to spend time in prayer. You need to spend time in studying his word. And I guarantee you, God will pour into your heart and you will know in a new and fresh way how much God loves you. God speaks the language of quality time. From the very beginning in Genesis, it says that God came down at the cool of the evening and he spent time with Adam and Eve. Moses, it tells us that God spoke to him face to face and he was called the friend of God. And even Jesus models that for us. Take a look at the Gospel of Luke chapter 6. It says, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and he spent the night praying to God. He spent all night just talking to his Father in heaven. Quality time. People throughout the scriptures, I get the hint that quality time was their primary love language. Look at the author of our Psalm 84. My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. He cries out to spend time with God, to be in the courts of the Lord, to be in worship with him, to be in that activity with him. And God speaks that language, and he pours in to his people. If this is your primary love language, spend time with God. And then ask yourself this: who needs to spend quality time with you? Think about family, think about friends. Who among them could it be that quality time is their primary love language? You might ask yourself, who is the one that keeps bugging you to go to lunch? Who's the one that kind of not complains, but sort of ribs you a little bit about, you know, it's been a long time since we spent any time together. It's been forever since you invited us over. We haven't done this or done that in a long time. Just maybe. Maybe quality time, That's their love language. And if they're important to you, can you make the time for them? Can you carve out the moments, the hours, so that you can pour into them so that they would know that you love them, that you care about them? I know time is precious. It's hard. My schedule's packed, your schedule's packed. It's a precious commodity. But I'll tell you this, if it's your primary love language, I implore you to make time to spend with God. And if you know someone in your circle of friends and family that you suspect that the quality time is their primary love language, make time for them. Your relationship will be so much better. All of us want and need to know that we're loved. God knows it so well that he speaks fluently all five languages of love, so that you would know beyond a doubt how much he actually loves you. Amen. Would you please stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, first of all, it's great to be here in worship. It's great to be here to sing praises to you, to hear you speak to us through your word. Give us an opportunity to pray to you. It's time. It's time with you, Father. And even if it's not our primary love language, it's a precious time which we willingly give to you and the blessings that overflow to us. I ask that you would open up our hearts as we would look at all of our relationships and how could we make them stronger? How could we make them better? How could the people that are important to us know how much we love them? I pray that through the teaching and through your servants that maybe we would learn the language of those around us and that all those relationships would be strengthened, but especially our relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.